Again, we've been talking about what it means to truly walk with the Lord, and you know that's character building. You know, having the fruits of the Spirit. It says in Scripture that if the fruits of the Spirit are growing in your life, then you're useful to God. So again, what does it mean to walk with the Lord? You know, we have so much because of depending what denomination you belong to. You'll have an answer, a different answer for that. The Bible only has one answer for that. Walking with the Lord is meaning to denying that self, putting on that armor of God, standing firm in the faith, being ready to boldly express what God has done in your life. That's the only ticket that there is to life and the reality of getting through this life. But it's also for eternity. It has an everlasting benefit when we are in the right spirit. Okay, so we're going to look again as we're beginning to talk about how we relate to one another, and this is what it means: is taking the practical application of a changed heart and using it in the situations in which you find yourself in our daily world. So it's in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, but let's have a word of prayer and ask God to open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds to receive his word. And Father, you are holy again, and Father, we pray that our worship and song was pleasing to you because we sung from our heart and not from the talent that we have, but Father, from the gratification of who you are in our lives. Father, we now want to hear from you. We want your word to be spoken. And Father, as pleasant or unpleasant as it may be in our lives, Father, it's a testament to where we are and where we can claim to be walking with you. Father, you've asked us to do something that we can't do in the flesh, that can only be carried out in the Spirit. And Father, we just ask now that that we would receive your word, that you would write it upon our hearts, Father, that we might not sin against you, for it's in your name that we pray. Amen. In chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it." Basically, you know, we've always heard, you know, don't judge another, and the Bible's very clear on that. Who are we to judge someone when we don't own them? God owns creation. He is the only one that has a right to judge us. The churches of today seem to pick out certain sins and certain lifestyles, and they make a judgment for that. And God's word says we're not to judge that the world. Now, Paul goes on to teach us that in the church, there is a judgment of the church, of the members of the church. You can't claim to be a child of God and be in the church and not have church discipline but understand what we're using for that judgment. It's not our own judgment, but it's a judgment of God. It's his word that we are judged against. This is talking about a general judgment of the world, the general judgment, because we are all under the law, so therefore we all have already been judged. So therefore, why in the world do we continue to go on judging those that are in the world? That has not ever been our responsibility as a church, is to judge those that belong to another. And God is the only one that has that right, as we'll see in the next verse. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save. Don't you wish it just stopped there? This is one of those passages of scriptures that when we focus on just the salvation of God, then we can't understand what the good news of God is. Because he goes on to say, not able to save and to destroy. You see, God does destroy. God is able to save, but God is also able to destroy. And he uses both of those rights that he has. As the judge and the lawgiver, sometimes when God judges, those that are righteous fall under that judgment as well. Understand it rains on the just and the unjust. The pestilences that are coming, the tribulations that are coming, Children of God will have to endure those. That's one reason for the passage of Scripture about putting on the armor of God. If you don't put on the armor of God, you cannot stand firm in His righteousness. And if you don't stand firm in His righteousness, you are going to fall. So if you don't take upon the acts of your life on a daily basis and denying yourself daily and putting on that armor of God, you have already failed. You just don't know it. And then when it hits you, you're like, how did I get here? Well, then you got to go back and read the Scripture, and He's going to bring that up. Well, I haven't been putting on armor of God. I haven't been denying myself daily. It's something that you have to do. There's no other option for a child of God. That is a criteria that God set forth in our lives so that we would be able to do the things that He has asked us to do. But He does destroy, He does save. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there or engage in business and make a profit. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Why did God put that in there after He said, don't judge your neighbor? He's trying to humble you. He's trying to make it realistic in your life that you understand that you have no strength or ability to do anything in your life that He doesn't allow. You can't say what tomorrow's going to be. None of us know what tomorrow is going to be like. I have a client of mine who, dear lady and her husband, and they were just simply coming home from work one day, and a wild driver just came over top of a hill, was on their side, and hit them head on. And she spent, I don't know, like 6 months in the hospital, and she has some brain damage, and she's just now where she can walk. And it's been almost over a year of rehab and stuff, and she will never be who she was before this happened. So all the plans that they had made and all the enjoyment of life that they had taken in consideration is gone with just one act. So basically He's trying to teach each and every one of us that hang on to today. Today's got enough trouble with it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Did you know worry is a sin? See, it's not just homosexuality and transgender and abortion and I can't even say divorce anymore or smoking and drinking anymore because we've accepted that into the church, which now we're getting ready to accept all this other stuff in the church. And I quote, and I put church in parentheses because the true living church of God will never accept any of this stuff. But as we change and make what's not right right, then there's going to be eventually no need for Jesus Christ because there's not going to be any sin to confess. If we continue in the way our world is continuing. But He's telling us this, that, you know, don't sit there and put all your efforts in yourself because you have no ability to make tomorrow and to make your promises happen. We're just kind of a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. You see, God is sovereign over all, and He has control over all of us. There's nothing wrong with dreams and plans, just don't do it without Him. You see, and that's the mistake that we make, is we don't stop and ask Him, and then we don't use the Word of God to back up what our plans are. You know, it says to do whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Doesn't matter what it is. A business that you're setting up, you know, raising your children, taking care of an elderly. You do it as if you're doing it for the Lord, which means you give the best care and you give the best attention to what you're doing. You pay attention to what you're doing. We just had our house painted and basement done, and I go around and I find all these blemishes. I mean, I think in some areas, maybe my dog could have painted better in some areas, and sloppy. I mean, but that's the way of the world, is it not? Just get the job done. It doesn't matter what job that we do. As a child of God, you don't just live your life, is what he's trying to tell us here. You don't just live your life, but you live your life as if you are doing it for the Lord and be pleasing unto him. I can't please him in the flesh, therefore I have to put on the Spirit and make sure I'm in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. I can't do that if I don't put on the armor of God and deny myself daily. See how it comes full circle in what we're trying to do in our lives? And we so focus on what we're going to do for God instead of what God is doing for us. Again, I will challenge anyone in Scripture to find me in there where God tells us to do anything for him. It's not in there. And in fact, there's a lot of stuff in there that you have been raised up to believe. It's coined by different denominations. And the gentleman I was talking about, he said, when I finished explaining how, boy, you know, God has us in his hand, and we can't, no one can snatch us out of those hands. And he said, man, I just nailed it. He said, I just nailed it. But then he looked at him and said, no, I didn't nail it. He said, I didn't give him the other side. He said, because I gave him my opinion on it, but I didn't give him the other opinion. Well, unfortunately, I had to correct him that nobody needs your opinion about God. I said, first of all, you can't show me in Scripture where it says once saved, always saved. It's not in there. You were raised up in it. Come on, show me where you got that. How many of you Baptists believe that? I want to know that. How many? Raise your hand if you believe that. You're afraid to raise your hand, ain't you? Show me where you got that. Once saved, always saved. It's not in there. And yet, you go and live in your life like, man, you're secure for eternity. You may be fooling yourselves. Now, Bible teaches in principles. This is what I explained to him, is that it's not written in there. And you're using the wrong passage of Scripture to explain it. When you're born again, you can't be unborn. When you've been washed and you've been regenerated, you can't go back and be unregenerative. So there's the truth behind it, but we coin these silly little things in these denominations that don't exist. He never mentioned anything about being born again. When the Bible is so clear that if you're not born again, you're not a child of God. And it's only an act that God performs upon you, and he seals you with the Holy Spirit. If you miss Sunday school this morning, when Jesus came up out of the water when he was baptized, he didn't need to be baptized because of sin. He was being baptized because he was fulfilling the law of man that God had given. He had no reason. So baptism, the water baptism, does absolutely nothing for you. But then you've got different denominations that believe that unless you're baptized with the water, if you die before you're baptized with the water, you'll still go to hell. Where did you get that? It's not in there. You see, so we have to be very careful not to give opinions. If you don't know truth, just simply say, hey, you know what, I don't know. But don't be given opinions. This gentleman had no reason to give an opinion about something he knew nothing about. When God's word is very clear on the only way that you're in his company forever is the fact that you're a child of God, and the fact that you persevere proves it. See, it says those that persevere to the end will be saved. So there's a proof of that salvation in our lives on how we walk. How excited you are to come up here and share with someone else what God is doing in your life, what passages of scriptures mean something to you. There may be somebody else in this church that needs to hear that, and we are not equipping one another. We are not supporting one another. We are not being the church that God is calling us to be when we're just happy to sit on our haunches back there and not be engaged and involved in the worship service. And that is wrong. You see, we ain't talked about homosexual altered lifestyles or anything, have we? We got into sin, didn't we? See, the church doesn't like to hear their sin. They would rather focus on those things that are easy not to do, easy to judge somebody else about. But I think judgment should start in the household of the Lord. I think the scripture even backs that up, doesn't it? So we use the scripture for the judgment. He goes on to say, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and we will also do that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows, oh, this is going to hurt. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Wow. So if you're in the Word of God each day, and God's teaching you what is right, if you're not in the Word of God each day, and you're still not doing what's right, it's still sin. So either way, you're caught. Either way, we're found guilty in this judgment of God's. If we're not finding out what's right and doing it, we're guilty. If we know what's right and we're not doing it, we're guilty. Cool stuff. Proverbs 23. Why do we do this? What's the purpose of this? Again, how we're to live. Why is this important? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Do you know what's happening in the Methodist church right now? An absolutely tragedy to the name of our holy God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a bunch of fools in that church because they're quarreling. I didn't say this. I didn't say Methodists were fools. God said Methodists were fools because they're quarreling. Because they'll quarrel about everything and anything. See, they're having a problem with this same-sex marriage, and they're having a problem with transgenders and all that kind of stuff, to the point where they're splitting, even happening. Talked to a gentleman this week, and he told me about the sadness in his church, and he's got a men's group he's been going to for years, and they're no longer meeting because of this, and their church is splitting. Who wins? Who wins? See, there's because these churches are devoid of truth, it allows them to get in this situation. All you got to do is read plainly the Word of God, and you'll know what's right and what's wrong. You don't get to decide what's right or what's wrong. God has already made his judgment on what's right and what's wrong. You're just supposed to obey it. He never intended for man to decide what's right and what's wrong. He decides what's right and what's wrong. And yet this denomination is fighting over something that's very clear in Scripture. There should never be a debate about Scripture. We should never be a quarrel about Scripture. The reason there's quarrel is because we have opinions of a man, and therefore because we have opinions of man, we have all these denominations instead of one God, one Lord and Savior, and one Spirit, and one truth. Because that's all that there is. That's all there is. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. That's why I'm warning you, if you have been raised up in a denomination, you better question everything you've ever been learned in that denomination, or you're going to die and go to hell. I'll be very blunt. You see, John the Baptist was very blunt. Who are you, you brood of vipers? Who told you to come and escape the wrath of God? Sometimes you just got to be blunt. If you're a Baptist, you're in trouble. If you're Methodist, you're in trouble. If you're Catholic, you're in trouble. If you're Protestant, you're in trouble. If you're Pentecostal, you're in trouble. If you are raised up and you're holding to the denomination of any man, you're in trouble. And you have been deceived, thoroughly deceived. God said there's only one. One Father, one Spirit, one faith. Be careful not to give your opinions. Keep away from strife. Walk away. Share it in truth and walk away. Your job is not to convince people of what's right. Your job is to share in love the truth that God has given you. And not your opinion. Please don't ever say, this is my opinion. Please, I beg you as your pastor and representing this small portion of the body of Christ, don't go out and tell somebody your opinion. Please. Let's look at Proverbs 18, 19 to 21, just over across the page. Why? Why do we have this right? Why is it so important to make sure we are who we say we are? Why is it important to put on that armor of God? Why is it important to walk in a manner of our calling? Why is it important to be the correct light to the lost world? Why is it so important? Proverbs always has an answer for practical living. Matter of fact, if you're missing Wednesday night, we're going through Proverbs, one of the most interesting books that you'll ever have because it teaches you how to take what you think you know and actually apply it to everyday living. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And contentions are like bars of citadel, which are bars, which are a fortified city. It usually was like in a realm. It was a castle that was so fortified you couldn't get in. You know what offends folks is when you tell them what you think's going on about God and they find out that that's not true. Well, my opinion, when somebody goes on your opinion and they stand before God and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Did you know you're going to be held accountable for that? The scripture says that you're going to be held accountable for that. I'd be scared to death if I were you to give my opinion about God. You only give truth and facts. It's written in the Word of God. There's no room for opinions. God says truth, and truth is not opinion. He goes on to say, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. Listen to this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know why we have so many denominations and we have a competition between one or another? Can you imagine these poor countries that we're supposed to be sending all these missionaries? Well, 1 week or 1 month they have a missionary from the Baptist, and the next month they have a missionary from the Methodist, and the next month they have a missionary from the Catholics, and the next month they have a missionary from the Pentecostals, and the next month, my gosh. Oh my gosh. These people got to be, what in the world is going on? It's happening, folks. It's happening. And we're guilty of that. No wonder our world's in the mess it is, because we don't have one standard. And there is only one standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's written in His Word very plainly. It's not hard. If you're a child of God and you're struggling on understanding what the Word of God says, you better ask God why. If you have to go to a children's Bible to get it, you better ask God why. Because His Word is so clear that you have the Holy Spirit within you, that you need no man to teach you, that He will reveal His truth to you. And if He's not revealing His truth to you, you better ask God why. Because you may just have a denomination and not a relationship. Because there is no relationship in the denomination. Because they're wrong. They're wrong. This is the only thing that's right. The inspired written Word of God, written by the Holy Spirit, revealed to men as God sees fit, not as man sees fit. You can't get this unless God reveals it to you. You can't get this unless you approach it with the right heart. You can't get this unless you fear God, because the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And if you don't fear Him, you can't be saved. Real quick, let's look at Jude chapter 1. I'm beginning in verse 17. He reminds us once again. It says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." The words that they spoke are the only words that can matter. There's no other words that matter. Only those that God chose, the 12, and said, "You go out. You teach. You teach me. I am the Word. I was made flesh. I dwelt among men, and men rejected me. But you go out and you teach the Word." There's no other word but what I'm going to tell you. And I didn't get the Word. It's not my Word. I'm only telling you what the Father has told me to tell you. And this is what you're supposed to tell the world. So as we go out as missionaries and we send out missionaries and we all have a different word, there's no greater tragedy in our world today other than sending missionaries out with the wrong message. And that's what's happening. We're not getting the message right in the churches, and we're not getting the messages right when we send missionaries, because what do we focus on? Not the message, but the missionary going. We're not focusing on what we're teaching. We're going to be humanitarians. The church has never been meant to be primarily a humanitarian effort, but is a spiritual effort. The Word of God was given to the church, and the church is supposed to take that Word, and all the churches have got to have the same Word. And we are in defile of God's holy Word by sending out missionaries to do humanitarian efforts with each one having their own message. And that is wrong. God forgive us. And you wonder why our world's in a mess it is? Because of that. Because we've allowed men to educate themselves on the Word of God and then go out and tell people what it means. And there's no character behind any of them. Goes on to say in verse 18 that they were saying to you, "In the last times there's going to be mockers following after their own godly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. And that's what's happening in the Methodist Church right now. Devoid. You hear this? I'm backing up what I'm saying. They're devoid of the Spirit, or they wouldn't find themselves in the situation that they're in. They're devoid of the Spirit, as is most denominations. Because that's all they center their thoughts on, is what their denominations are. What man thinks God says, instead of, God, you tell us what you think it says. What a tragedy. They're the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You have been given the Holy Spirit that lives in you, and you're to pray in that Holy Spirit, and you're to use Him as a guide. You're to use Him as the help, and He utters words to you when you reach a point in your life that you don't know how to pray. He utters for you the depths of the thoughts of their heart. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. You're going to have to wait. A lot of bad things are going to happen in this world. The destruction of this country, who has turned their backs on God's word. And all of our churches are shaking their fist at God. Oh, it's a form of godliness. As the Bible says will happen, there's be a form of godliness, but devoid of the Spirit. Devoid of truth, but a form of godliness. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others. Snatching them out of the fire, out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear. Why? Hating, okay, it's okay to hate if it's a righteous hate, if it's the right kind of hate. As a child of God, you're supposed to hate. What are you supposed to, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh? There are some people that you just got to hate what they are. You hate the very flesh that they're polluted by. See, you're supposed to hate your own flesh. What do we read? If you love your mother and father more than me, if you love your children more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you don't hate your life as you are born in the flesh, contrary to the word of God, you can't be saved. See, the Bible brings you to that point when you read it that you hate the very flesh that you're polluted by, the very nature that you're born with. That it creates a struggle in your life, knowing that the Word of God is revealing to you that the flesh cannot please God in any form or fashion. And you bring nothing to the table, and you are hopelessly, helplessly lost. But we're to hate even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. You can't keep yourself from stumbling. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how much you do that. It's ultimately up to Him to keep you from stumbling. It's not how much you're in the Word, but how much the Word is in you. And to make you stand in the presence of His holy blame. Of his glory, blameless, with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't it a matter of fact how it says only? What does only mean? What does only mean? Then explain to me why we have all these denominations teaching contrary to the Word of God. I just want an explanation. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty. You know what dominion means? Huh? He owns it all. His dominion is, He owns it all. and authority before all, time and now and forevermore. Amen. Why can't we get this? Because we're so focused on working for God that we forget that God's the one working for us. That makes a relationship different than a religion. Remember, a religion is man's attempt to please a God. A relationship is God pleasing himself through the work that he does through his Son, Jesus Christ, and then through the work of man. It says we are his workmanship for his good pleasure. What's he doing in your life? Because if he's doing something in your life, I'm going to have a list a mile long of folks that want to come up and share that. And the fact that you don't want to share that concerns me as your pastor. My responsibility is look over the sheep. And God to give me discernment over the sheep. And there are some that are sitting here that are feeling confident in who they are that may not be who they are at all. When people tell me they're going to heaven, I got to ask them why. And not one person tells me that the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child. Period. They tell me about some extravagant experience that they had, some emotional thing that they had. But no one ever tells me, oh, it's the Spirit of God that bears witness with my spirit. It's not based on what I feel. It's not based on where I'm at. But it's based on the fact that he's revealing it to me. And nobody ever tells me that. But everybody tells me they're going to heaven. And they're not. They're not. If you just said a prayer, you're not going to heaven. If you've not received the Holy Spirit, you're not going to heaven. If His Spirit does not bear witness with you as you're a child of God, you're not going to heaven. If the fruits of the Spirit are not increasing in your life, you're not useful to God, and you might not be a child of God. You might be a disobedient one. But then if you're a disobedient one, He's going to correct you. And if you're not being corrected by God, you might not be His child. No, you're not His child. Because He says He corrects those who He loves. He corrects those that are His own. We have listened to man for too long. And it's time now to get the Scriptures out. And you begin to throw all that garbage away in your life. And you begin to ask God, because this is too important of a decision, too important of a thing in your life to stand before Him. And He say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's because He loves us that He wrote this. But He did it as a warning. Because I'm a holy God, He said. And there's a wrath coming upon disobedience. And I sent my Son that you might be delivered from the wrath for the forgiveness of your sins through the repentance, the godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And He had promised to give us the Holy Spirit so that we could carry out the things that are impossible for us to do in the flesh. So that we might glorify Him, not us, and not our denomination.